Hello and welcome to episode 467 of How About This?
Wah, DJ Robbie, voici un peu hip-hop français. Salut tout le monde, c'est How About This? On l'écoute sur la bande de How About This? La connaissance et les rondes dans How About This? Les meilleurs podcasts se fondent sur How About This?
Isabella, Jason, il commence à la dialogue. Isabella, Kalili, Bababa, Dédé, Toga. Isabella, Jiki, il est constamment en vogue. Et ainsi, on rend le courage, se trouve à Werner Herzog.
Hello.
Bienvenue au podcast How About This? Cette intro est à la langue de la fleur de lys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Les empoignes, écoutez How About This? How About This? How About This? How about? Direct à Melbourne en Australie, motherfucker.
That feels like a prime.
Oh, that's a good call. 467.
Feels very primey to me.
Anything with a 7 in it feels prime.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm saying.
Even 27 feels like a prime.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's not, but it feels like a prime.
Oh, no, it's not. It's three times nine threes and three times nine.
Yeah, yes, both of those equations equal 27. Three times nine and nine times three.
467 is a prime number.
Just like 27.
Sorry, we don't have Amanda Buckley here.
No, it's not. I think it's supposed to be numbers that add together and stuff.
All equationals. Right,
okay. She's very busy as
we
well.
Don't know what we're doing.
She's very busy.
She's huge busy. She doesn't want to be dealing with our nonsense.
Yeah, she's saving lives.
Unless we can pay Amanda Buckley the dollar bills, she ain't coming here to podcast with these knuckleheads. So if you are on Patreon or thinking about joining Patreon, maybe that could be the lure
to get Buckers on the page.
If you want Buckers on, we need to hit a threshold level. You know, I started looking at a desk the other day.
Oh, yeah.
New desk.
Like made of oak?
This new sound desk.
Yeah, no. My question still stands.
Growing up, didn't mahogany feel like a fancy wood?
Yeah,
mahogany. There's some woods that you hear about and then you see them and you're like, that would look shit. Why is that so?
Mahogany looks good though.
Yeah.
It's mahogany. A good wood.
Yeah, mahogany's good.
Don't you be dissing mahogany.
No, mahogany's good.
I grew up believing mahogany was the height
Tasmanian
of wood.
Oak.
No, I'm thinking maybe walnut. It's got like, it's all knotty.
Yeah, fuck walnut.
All knotty. And
walnut's a
It's a nut.
It's a nut.
It's not a wood.
It sounds like a piece of wood made from nuts.
Yeah. It's a spotty wood.
Yeah. It's a bullshit wood. Yeah. It's no mahogany.
It's no mahogany. It's no Tasmanian oak.
Do you know what's a weird wood?
What?
Balsa wood. Balsa wood is weird.
It's hardly a wood. It's more of a cardboard.
How are those trees just not flying through the air?
Is it from an actual tree? Yeah. Or is it just thinly sliced?
No, because you get chunks of balsa.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a chunk of balsa.
I've never seen a balsa tree.
It's because it's floating above your head.
Where does balsa wood
is come? There a balsa tree? Is it called a balsa tree?
You'd imagine. Oh, or it was Heinrich Balsa, inventor of a thing that pulled all the weight out of a wood.
Yeah, he'd make it. He combined trees with sponges.
Yep.
And he made balsa.
There's cork. I mean, cork comes from trees.
Can you make salsa from balsa?
Yeah.
I'll have a balsa salsa.
Balsa? A bowl of balsa salsa.
A bowl of balsa salsa?
$1 million.
It comes from a balsa tree.
Yeah.
Over 95% of balsa wood comes from Ecuador.
Oh, Ecuador's living the balsa, economic lifestyle.
Yeah. And to ship it, it's cost nothing. Yeah. It's so low. That's a scam.
Balsa trees grow incredibly rapidly, reaching nearly 30 meters in under 15 years.
Why only Ecuador?
But they rarely live beyond 35 years old. They just die off.
Right. They get harvested. They get euthanized.
They blow over.
Yeah. Well, I guess if they keep getting taller and taller and taller, that's probably a problem.
Mm.
Like, why would Ecuador be the epicenter of balsa? Like, because it can't be the only place on Earth with that specific climate.
5% of it comes from somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Where's that? Where's the other 5%? And why aren't they trying harder to topple Ecuador's monopoly?
Ecuador's got a monopoly on balsa wood. Everyone else, cocaine.
Yeah.
Heroin.
So Ecuador does mostly balsa and a little bit of coffee just to I feel like Ecuadorian coffee's a thing.
I can't wait for the Netflix series Balsa.
Yeah.
About the balsa cartels.
Balsa.
A bowl of balsa salsa.
Iti salsa.
Well, we've learned a lot about balsa.
We really have.
But it doesn't do anything to topple the fact that mahogany is the premier wood, as far as I'm concerned.
To answer your question, yes and yes. I have been looking at desks. No, I've been looking at tables.
Eight tables
for board game table.
Oh, well, what's wrong with this one?
This is a homemade affair.
Yeah, but it's great. You've got the padding. No one's seen this table. And if you haven't at home, it's got like, is it a foam layer on top of the table?
It's a carpet underlay.
It's almost a bed.
It's right. Carpet underlay on top of a table
yeah.
with a good
with material.
Sturdy material.
But you've, been, you've like had a fair few games table. Nights here with your little games crew. You have a fairly regularly. So I guess you would have been learning from that. What are the limitations of this table? So something's rankling against you. Oh, or do you just, the gear you need to upgrade is all consuming?
Yeah, the gear you need to upgrade is all consuming. And I want, you can get tables, gaming tables now that's specifically made for gaming.
Yeah.
Right.
That you can leave a game on and then put like layers over the top. Oh. So when you're podcasting, you don't have to clear a game off the table.
That's dangerous. So how many layers are you going to have? You're going to have like, we're going to have to stand on some big stools.
So it's got a well. So basically,
games
basically it's got like a two before around the edge that you kind of lean on.
Right.
And it's got like drink holders and stuff that you can have on there. And the play surface is recessed down. And then you put stuff over the top. So when you're podcasting, you can just leave a game set up from session to session. I have to take a photo of it and then break it down.
Because it plays in the recess, then you just put a...
Yeah, it's just like a panel over the top.
Yeah. Okay. And are they padded? Because this is padded, and I always assumed that was so you could pick up cards easier.
Yeah, so you can pick up cards easier, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And the other one is padded, yes.
Yeah, right.
So I've been looking at tables, Tasmanian Oak, but I've also been looking at desks.
Sound desk.
Because
of the ghost in the machine.
Yeah.
That haunt our podcast.
It does happen.
Please, we have a Patreon. We do reinvest it in better equipment.
And once we've got a new sound desk and Jason embezzles a bit of money for his gaming table, will be a podcasting table as well, so it counts.
True.
Then all the money is going to the Buckley Fund. How much do you reckon we'd need to lure Buckley
It's here? A lot, because I hear that one of us is on the list. On her list.
We've made a list.
It wasn't you, it was a Carl.
Let's just say I'm not allowed within 50 meters of Amanda Buckley.
No.
Was that what have you done?
I'm just
got a vibe.
We're not on the list, yeah. Nah. I've just got that face.
Yeah. That'd be fun to get on.
I feel like I could get on the list any old day.
Should we try and get on the
list? We should try. One of us should try to get on the list. And then the other two should try to lure Amanda Buckley onto the podcast and just fuel the beef. Just have a confrontational podcast like Dr. Phil style where the beef gets aired out on this podcast. And that's what you'll be paying for, Patreon subscribers,
So head to Patreon/ how about this?
Established.
How about this?
That's the word.
And please subscribe.
Yeah.
I heard another thing because I didn't realize what this was, but it would be on the end of some YouTube videos like, oh, you could buy me a coffee, but buy me a coffee is a thing.
Yeah. It's basically, shoot me some funny, shoot me a bit of money.
Yeah.
Like a coffee's worth of money.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely buy myself a coffee with that money.
Yeah. Buy me a coffee. Imagine if that's what they do.
Yeah. You have to. It's the only way you can get that money out.
They don't pay in cash. They pay in coffee.
Yeah. It gets delivered to your door.
Nice.
Yeah.
In liquid form.
Oh, coffee beans. Jason Geary bought me some decaf coffee beans.
Yes.
Because I drink decaf.
From
of course you do.
From Brothers. A proper, and because I get the whatever they are from the supermarket, pre-ground and all that sort of stuff, because you can't buy decaf
the shit
beans.
Stuff.
Yeah, the difference in taste.
Yeah,
and I'm not like a big coffee snob, but my god,
but you're becoming one.
God, yeah. And I bought like a fancy little hand grinder.
Oh, Carl!
And every morning I'm like,
I can just see Carl wandering around artisanal land, grinding his coffee, surveying the forge.
I keep seeing venues that would be perfect for artisanal land.
Mm.
Like factories that are shutting down that are just like the right size for artisanal land. I'm like, maybe we should go for it.
Should we, guys?
So kick into the Patreon, Pete.
So once we get Amanda Buckley on the podcast, then sound desk, gaming table. That's also a podcast.
We leave the gaming table out of it.
Put it on there as a maybe.
No, we leave it out because it gets made at Cultism.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's much better.
Beautiful.
Mahogany.
Oh,
with infused with balsa just to tie it into the
podcast.
Just
so you can carry it if you need to move it.
That's right. Marbled with balsa.
Yeah.
Because I think growing up, I think mahogany, when I was thinking about mahogany, like mahogany desks in movies and TV shows were like the rich person desk, mahogany desk.
It's a thick, a proper heavy, businessman dark desk. Wood.
Yeah. When I think of mahogany, I think of Michael Douglas.
Yeah. But Michael Douglas doing business.
Yeah, right.
Greed is good. Mahogany is better. But then also I feel like mahogany ships were a thing. Like when people were sailing around the world, they were doing it in mahogany ships. Though that being said, I think the main mahogany ships I know of were shipwrecks. So maybe mahogany's cursed. Yeah, if you make
That's why they went to desks.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because it doesn't float. You need a balsa boat.
Yeah.
Balsa floats.
And then the mahogany.
Does balsa float?
Balsa must float. It's so light. It can fly.
All wood floats.
All wood floats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what wood does.
Yeah.
Name me a wood that sinks.
Because it's full of cells and things like that inside.
Right. Cells?
Yeah, so there's it's
aren't everything made of cells?
Yeah, no, but it's like
a cellular level?
Yeah, yeah, but it's I think it's bigger. I don't know.
Jeez, they got big cells.
You're not supposed to question anything I say. I just say I'm the guy that knows things.
It's just the out-science Carl.
Damn it.
We should give a heads up. This morning, as I was peacefully drinking coffee, waiting for these two fine gentlemen to arrive, I pulled a bevy of trucks out the front of my house.
Yes.
A convoy.
With
I had to squeeze my car through.
Jim's log and stump removal, tree and stump removal on board.
We've been pranked.
Started up the of the you know those bits that take chunks of wood and just turn it into the Fargo thing.
Yeah.
And chainsaws going everywhere.
Wow.
And it was like a half hour, 45 minutes constantly of it. And then when they stopped, I went outside and it was so funny. I'd never seen a group of six adult men be so scared. I went to the end of my driveway and it was across their house, like a diagonally across from me. And I went, "How long's this bullshit going on for?"
That's a fair question.
Yeah.
And they all just stopped like froze. And I went, "How long's this bullshit gonna go on for?" And they went, "Oh, a couple of hours." I went, "Oh," I said, "I've got to record stuff." I said, "Can you at least turn stuff off when you're not using it?" And they were like, "Okay." And so it's been silent since.
Maybe they're waiting for you to go out and go, "Hey guys, all clear, you can go in." They're all just sitting around.
Or just give me an invoice. There you go. You paused us. Yeah. Who knows? It could start up any moment. I'm expecting it to.
The excitement is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sense of anticipation.
Mm. I'm hoping they got the big chunks out in that
the mahogany
minutes.
Chunks. They've just got balsa left to chop.
And that's nothing.
Oh, mate, you won't even hear it.
You just do it with your teeth.
Get them to drop the stumps over here. We can make our own boats.
Yeah.
Stump boats.
Little bumper boats. Little mahogany bumper boats.
I've always thought like we should all have dinghies.
Yeah.
Like just we should all have a dinghy that we can put on a body of water and float around in if we wanted to.
I reckon backpack dinghies are the thing.
Oh.
Like you wear them as a backpack. You've got a normal backpack stuff in there, you know, all your stuff. And then you get near a creek, you're like, psh, like an inflatable.
Inflatable dinghy backpack. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Friends of ours have, they have like foldable canoes. And they're made of like almost like a core flute.
Right.
Plastic sort of thing. Yeah. They're all like hexagonal angle stuff, and you just kind of go clink, 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 and fold it out.
Right.
But they're pretty, you can't use them, you wouldn't use them in the ocean.
Right.
Because you can use them on lakes and, you know, when it's not too windy and stuff like that. They've got certain restrictions around them. But it's like, shit, that's pretty cool.
I love a kayak/canoe time.
Yeah. We got Alexander one for Christmas once, and he loved it. That's so good.
Loved. Past tense. Hasn't been in the old sea kayak.
He got
for a
too
while.
Big.
I'm too big for it.
Yeah.
Because I could, if I sat on it, it would be like, oh, I'm slowly sinking.
Yeah.
So you it was got like a child.
It was
kayak.
A cute one, but he was a child at the time.
Last time I went kayaking, I was in Victoria, Canada. So it was pre-pandemic. And we were in the harbour there.
I think you were going to say that.
And
like high school.
No, Victoria, Canada. I enjoy kayaking.
Yeah.
And Dave was like, "Let's go. Do you want to go kayaking on the harbour?" I'm like, "Sure." And so we paddle down under a bunch of bridges, go out into the big harbour. There's like ships and stuff everywhere. And then I'm like, "How come there's no one in this part of the water? It's pretty, like it's a busy harbour, but there's no one here." And I look to my left, seaplane coming.
Oh!
Right at me. I'm like, "Holy shit, I gotta get out of here." Seaplane takes off, over my head. I'm like, "Oh, that's why there's no one in this part of the harbour."
Yeah. It's a runway.
Gee whiz.
Wow. Gee willikers.
I do have a random fact for this episode.
All right.
This prime episode. And it is coffee related.
I'll stick a pin in planes.
This is a quick one.
All right.
Like real quick.
All right.
The coffee term mocha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Derives its name from the city of Mocha in Yemen.
Ah.
And I've never thought about it. I just assumed because it's hot chocolate and coffee. It's a Mocha.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I've been like, it's some sort of combining mashup of things.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
But I've never thought about it because it is not in any way a mashup of chocolate. And I guess the Mocha says, like
Chocolate, Mocha.
Yeah, you're like chocolate. Coffee, chocolate, Mocha. You're like, I don't know, it must make sense somehow. Or but it's not even a mashup. It's just from the place Mocha in Yemen where they just loved a chocolate coffee.
Wow.
And my brilliant coffee machine that serves us all coffee all the time, it's called a Mocha Master.
Mm.
And Sam, when she saw it, she was like,
where do I put the chocolate?
Yeah, where's the chocolate go? You want chocolate coffee?
Was this made in Yemen?
I'm like, no, it's a Mocha Master.
So it
may be from there.
Who knows? Yeah, Mocha. They're all about it. Mocha Yemen.
Yemen.
We don't hear enough about Yemen's coffee culture. And probably rightly so. It's steeped in horrendous human rights abuses. allegedly. I don't know. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to find out more about it because that is just one of the things where there was like a fog across my head where I just assumed it was a mashup of two words, but never refused to think about it too hard because I knew in my heart that it couldn't be.
Because I've never actually thought about it hard, but just very lightly thought about it. Because it's almost like a mock, also mock as well. Like
you're mocking the coffee.
It's a mock coffee. It's coffee, but not real coffee because it's got chocolate in it and it's got the ochre for chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We learned something. We've dispelled a commonly held belief, I think. And admit it, listeners, you all thought it was a mashup, some coming together of words to explain hot chocolate and coffee coming together, and they settled on Mocha for reasons that no one could quite understand and refused to fully think about.
I feel
here's
like
what the internet tells
the
me.
Robbie Ellis knew.
Hell, he knew. And he wrote a song about it. And he tried to explain it to us. Yeah. And we refused to listen.
It is believed.
No, we listened, but we were laughing so much we didn't actually take it in.
It's believed that the drink was originally named after the Mocha bean.
Yeah, from Yemen.
Oh, like a chocolatey bean?
Shipped from the port of Al Mocha in Yemen.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's just the location.
There you go.
For its naturally chocolatey flavor.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
So they've got chocolatey.
So they're
Mocha beans are naturally chocolatey, and we're making fake mockers. We're making mock mockers.
Yeah.
Mock mockers.
Well, like, how could we capture the essence of that beautiful Yemen bean? Add chocolate.
Yeah.
Add some fucking chocolate, mate.
And call it a Mocha.
It's a Mocha. It's a Mocha sin. I'm going to have a sip of water now.
Carl's out for the next 10 minutes.
Unsticking the airplane pin.
Yes.
Rick and I were in Adelaide for
the
Fringe.
Were. You were there for ages.
Rick was there for two weeks.
I was there for 2 weeks.
My God.
Two of the finest weeks.
Listeners would have known that we didn't have an episode last Friday.
Apologies, listeners.
We tried to squeeze one in earlier in the week. Just couldn't do it.
We're busy. We're busy, fellas.
Yeah. I flew home on Monday. I was wrecked on Monday. I was talking to JJ, who also flew home at 6 a.m.
You
Monday.
Flew home at 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh,
our flight
God.
Was 6 a.m.
So what time, do you go to sleep on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm sure I set my alarm and I wake up and I'm like, my alarm hasn't gone off. This feels a bit weird.
Uh-oh.
I look at it. I'm sure I set it for 4. It's 25 past 4 and JJ's coming to meet me and get an Uber at like at 4:30.
Oh, shit.
I get up, I look out my window and I see JJ scooting down the middle of the road towards my building. I'm on the 11th floor, just scooting at 4 a.m. I'm like, fuck! And I'd packed the night before, so I had to do was throw my two clothes on, but I didn't get a chance for a shower or anything. And the rest of the day... And JJ put a pinpoint on this. I was like, I was talking to him on Tuesday. I said, I was so tired yesterday. He's like, it felt like I just got out of an operation. Like, any time I sat there, I was just so drowsy. I'm like, yes, it was insane. So we were trying to do something early in the week. And if we had done it on Monday, I just would have been like.
A bit like a full jet lag episode.
Yeah.
I'm getting weird sound stuff.
Yeah,
are you guys getting
weird
that?
Sound stuff too.
Like sort of. Coming in and out.
Dipping in and
do you
out.
Do a
Patreons,
we
need you.
Yeah, well done.
Everyone, if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, please.
I think it's all right. It was only on my mind.
You gotta throw us a bone.
Yeah, it's only
we're
on
giving
my
all
mind.
We can.
Speaking of that, I had to do a... Oh, I got something to say.
Oh.
Hey, Bridget. It's not bursitis.
Oh!
Hey!
The ongoing diagnostic drama of inflamed hips.
All so right, I go,
stick a pin in airplanes. Keep going.
Haven't you done yet?
I don't know.
Let's fucking go.
That's not the story.
No, that's not the story.
Do you want me to stick a pin in mine?
No, no, no. You go. I want to hear about this.
All right. So I go to the doctor's last, I can't remember what it was, last week sometime, I think it was. And he's, you know, we do a bit of a thing, gets me on the table, starts moving me around and stuff and poking things and all that sort of stuff. And he goes, look, it's not bursitis. And I'm like,
and you're like, cool. Cha-ching.
But here's the thing. He goes, because I was working your bursa really hard and you weren't reacting or anything like that.
Is a bursa not, like a little lady who lives in your behind a desk?
I don't know what a bursa is. Funds. Like I know certain anatomy things. Yeah. I'd like to think
the doctor was making shit up. Stuff.
And he said that and I'm like, I've never heard of
what
that.
What is a bursa?
I've got no idea. I still don't know. I should look it up.
Yeah.
But so he said that and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, yeah, haha, Bridget. So anyway, he doesn't think it's because it's gotten worse. Like it's sort of it's getting
well, that's no good.
It's ramping up like exponentially worse. Sort of each like I'm in constant discomfort. What
is it your hips?
It's my.
That's right.
Something to do in my groin. That's also affecting my butt, the side of my leg, and the muscle, the tibialis.
And the reason you cotton onto this is the week that Rick was away. I'm like, do you want to just get together anyway and play a quick round of par 3 golf? Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we're not doing the potty. Rick's away. Let's just get together on the time that we'd normally do a potty. I've got a par 3 golf course right near my house. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. So we get, I'm like, I've got clubs. And Carl's like, I've got clubs. I'm like, cool. And then at 8:30 that morning, I get a text from Carl saying, no Ken golf. He said, I had a practice swing. And I was like, ow. And then he said, I think I need to try that one more time. And he tries it one more time. He's like texting me, can't golf.
No can golf.
No so can golf.
Yeah, so it's gotten worse. Anyway, so I do all that. Oh, and then no. He does this stuff. And
wait,
goes,
here's your anatomy lesson. A bursa is a closed fluid-filled sac that works as a cushion and gliding surface to reduce friction between tissues of the body. The major bursa, bursae, this is the plural of bursa, are located next to the tendons near the large joints, such as in the shoulders, elbows, hips, and knees. So all your major joints have bursas there.
Right,
it's like a little airbag, little cushion, little fluid sac, just keeping things from getting too hectic.
Getting rubbing together too much.
And the doctor got into your bursa around your hips, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And no problem.
But he said it's not nerve damage. It doesn't seem like it's nerve damage. It doesn't seem so. He said it should be muscular or some kind of thing and stuff. Yeah. So, I have
so
to go
did you go
see,
to chiropractor yet?
No, I had to get a scan first. So I did that the other day, and I had to get some blood tests because he said, "Look, if you need to take some kind of steroid, we want to make sure your liver and everything is functioning properly."
Yeah.
So I go do that yesterday, and so whenever I've had a blood draw or anything like that, the nurses, whoever it is. I've always had really nice people. They're always really chatty and talky and happy, and they, you know, they seem to be into what they're doing and stuff. I copped the one person who just wasn't into it.
Yeah. Really,
I'm like, "Morning, how are you?" And then she's like, "Just roll down your sleeve, please."
Sit over there.
Just like really just mechanical. And I'm like, and it was like, I'm going to push this. Like, so what have you been up to? She's like, squeeze the thing, and she just went through the things and basically ignored me.
Wow.
And I was like. This?
Can I speak to your manager?
Yeah, I am the manager.
The last time I had a lady like that, she sent me away.
Oh, really?
She looked at my veins and was like, nah.
Oh.
Go drink water.
Because she said to me, because it's always left hand if you're right-handed.
Right.
Sort of thing. And she goes, what hand do you want? And I said, left. I said, it's left because I'm right-handed, right? Because I'm trying to make conversation. I know it's my left, but I'm trying to help, you know.
She's giving you nothing.
She's not giving me anything. And she goes, it just depends where the veins are. I said, well, that would be my right.
Veins are everywhere, lady.
Because I'm right-handed. And then she's like, but she's already clicked me up. And she just ignores me. And then it hurt a little bit. Normally those needles are like, oh, you're done. And she put it in and wiggled it a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not giving you anything, lady. Anyway.
How old was she?
I think
she was
like,
old enough to be over it.
She was in her early 70s, I would say. Yeah. So I just think.
Totally.
Because that's what I was. And I wasn't like, oh my God, what a cow or anything. It was like, she might be having a shit day or, you know, I'm 3 weeks from retirement or something like that. But then she said at the end, because it was a fasting one, and I know you can have water, but I just had a little bit of water because I didn't want to have a lot of water. And she goes, you need to do a pee thing. And I'm like, oh. And I didn't want to say anything to her because she'd been so shut down. And in my head, I'm like, because she's like, okay, you could do a pee and then do midstream and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, in my head, I don't think I got a midstream. Yeah. Like, I peed before I came. I don't think I'm going to be able to pee now.
Yeah.
So I go in the toilet and it's like.
Trying.
Just like.
Just okay, thinking, right, thinking of waterfalls.
Let's go. Turn the tap on. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I managed to catch some, but it was because I was quite dehydrated because of the night and I'd only had a tiny little bit of water. Uh-oh. It was the really darkest. Golden, rich, honey-colored pee. I'm like, shit. And then she's like, before I go and I pee in the thing, she's like, and then just pop it in the bag at the front at reception. And so I've got to walk through a packed reception holding this dark pee.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, and I'm trying to cover it in my hand because I'm
no
like,
no one look at my pee.
Please don't look at me.
I'm hideous.
I'm a monster. And so I then put it into the thing. But all this was in Cornang Road. So where you and I had brunch that morning when I couldn't golf. And that's how I get home and I text you. I'm like, fuck, I could have done both my tests at that place. Because they were both not that far from each other. So I go to the next place and I walk in. I'm like, this isn't like a pathology. This is like a doctor's surgery.
Right.
And I'm like,
you're thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching.
And I'm also like thinking, I can't just walk in and just go, hey.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'll just go check. And I go up and I'm like, hey, I thought I could just turn up here, but I don't think I can. I'm pretty sure I need an appointment. And she's like, yeah, you do. And she goes, hang on. And she looks down and she goes, you might be in luck.
Hey.
And I'm like, okay. And then she picks up the phone. And she goes, you know how you're 10:15 cancelled? Do you reckon you could do a hip scan? And I can't hear the other end. I just hear, and I just look at her and she just has this big smile. And I'm like, and she hangs up the phone. She goes, you're in luck. And I'm like, what awesome. And
look
she goes,
you got the both end of the extreme.
Yeah. And she goes, just go upstairs. And I go upstairs. Everyone was lovely. Mm. And so they had to like goop you up and stuff to do the thing. Yeah. And then she's like, she goes, oh, I can't get quite, because I had shorts on. She goes, oh, just, you know, and I said, look, I've just got like tight boxers on underneath. Do you want me to take my pants off?
Ooh.
She goes, yeah. She goes, do you mind if I take mine off? And I'm like, hello.
Wow.
And she goes, and
this
she,
is your lucky
and then
day.
She gets the lube and she's like, but I take them off. I'm lying on the table on my side. She goes, oh, I just need to move these a bit. And that's fine. I said, look, if you need to, I can take my undies off. She goes, no, that's all right. I just need to pull them aside. So she pulls them aside.
Pulls your wedgie? Crackers.
My nut pops. My nut pops out the side.
Oh, no.
Oh, how embarrassing.
I'm like, sorry about that. But anyway, so now she's pulled it to the side quite tightly. Yeah. And so like all my pubes are there. Uh-uh. And she scoops all the stuff on and she's rubbing it kind of all over my thing.
Yeah.
Nut tap?
No. But it's like caked into my pubic hair.
Right.
Oh, and she's doing the scan and stuff like that. And I'm like, can you see anything on the thing? And she goes, I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. She goes, I'm not
because
the
doctor. Because you are riddled with
I'm
cancer.
I'm not the radiologist. I'm not the radiologist. Like, you need to speak to the radiologist will come and have a look at that and send it to your doctor. And I'm like, but you've been doing this long enough that you could probably tell.
Well, speculate for me.
And and that's what I was saying. Like, you don't, and she goes, I can't, I'm not allowed to say
what
anything.
What is it
I said, look, I'm not. Yeah. Asking you to tell me, but I'm assuming that you can see things.
Cough once if you see cancer.
Yeah. But that was what she. But
cough
she
twice
just,
if I'm fucked.
But she wouldn't even admit that she. Like I was saying,
of course,
because she knows she can see stuff. Like if it's a tear or something, she
she's
can
totally
see that. She's done it
by
enough.
By a ball.
Because I saw a nut. Oh God! Oh, I need to vomit.
I haven't seen this much nut since I had a walnut table.
Yeah, so she did the scan and then, but I had to clean up and it's like, I can't get this
I can't
out of my
get
pubic
this.
Hair.
Right.
Like it's
home.
Gooped in, my undies are clinging to it and I hadn't eaten or drunk and it's like, by this stage, it's like 11 o'clock.
I'm lightheaded.
And I have such a small amount of caffeine in the morning, but it's like, I've got a headache. Mm. And so I went to Huff and I'm like, can I get a very weak latte, please?
Like weak.
I'm going to kill this
like
headache.
Weaker than you think is sensible.
Yeah. So that was, that's my little adventure.
Wow.
And now I've got
you're waiting for results?
I'm waiting for results and that'll happen in the next. She
Stay
said
tuned.
A couple of days, so it won't be till next week that I'll hear from the doctor.
And how are you feeling? It's getting feeling
it's
worse.
It's sore, yeah. Right. It's like it wakes me up at night now.
Oof.
Mira's like, just take some painkillers, and it's like, but I need to know the pain's there because I don't want to do dumb stuff.
Yeah, morphine or heroin or both, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh yeah, both. Yeah. No, I mean, I probably need ice and morphine.
Mm. Oh yeah,
just
balance.
Yeah. The Judy Garland, you know.
The Judy Garland medical diet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find out. But yeah, my worry is that there's a tear or something that my big worry.
What if the scan comes back and they're like, oh no, it turns out it's bursitis. Yeah, sorry. my mistake.
Then there'll be another
apology.
For Bridget.
Cap in hand.
Oh, so sorry.
What have I done?
Yes. So I rock up to the airport.
Yeah, right.
And
did I tell you about my last airport? Sorry.
listeners would realize on my birthday that Virgin done me wrong.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I went, fuck Virgin. Virgin. Even though I was close to silver,
yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not gonna go there.
Oh, you didn't go for silver?
No. I'm like, because I would have had to spend like a couple of, to get the points I needed, yeah.
I would have had to,
like, you know, you get the basic fare and then the flexible fares and stuff like that. That's where
you'd have to spend more to get more.
Right. Yeah. And so I would have,
that's where they win. They win.
Yeah. To get silver, I would have had to spend like an extra $300 for two. And what you get in silver is two visits
to the lounge. Yeah,
it's not enough,
isn't it?
So it's like $150 per thing. And
cheaper just to pay to get into the lounge
separately. Yeah.
Yeah. Try to get silver for that.
Then when I won. So I was just like, fuck it. So I was like, no, I'm not going back. I'm not even trying. Fuck it. I'm going to Rex.
Yeah, so Rex. They've never let us down.
I look up Rex. I'm on Webjet. I'm looking up the Virgin fares. And I'm like, no, I'm going to Rex. And I look up and there's two flights to Adelaide.
And how's the pricing of Rex compared to Virgin and stuff? Well, similar?
Well, I can get business class on Rex for the same price as an economy fare on Virgin.
So pretty fucking good.
Wow.
Because that gets you into the Rex Lounge.
Rex Lounge. Sure.
And so I'm like,
Thanksy Rexy.
I'm like, fuck you, Virgin. Business boy on Rex. I sign up for Rex frequent flyers.
Really? Yeah. You're a Rex guy.
And so I'm a Rex man.
Yeah. Really? And how are their flights? It's not like Jetstar, though, where everyone's like, Jetstar, and it's like, this flight's delayed for 9 hours.
They've never let us down.
Touch wood, never been delayed on Rex.
Because as I've said before, because of the good experiences I had with Rex, they're at that sweet spot where they're trying to make a name for themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're at the point where they're trying to be like, hey, we're just little plucky battlers. Give us a go. And so everything they do is like 100% committed.
And the same planes as Virgin planes.
Okay, that's good.
I think that must be related to, I think they're a Virgin subsidiary. Because when I went to Adelaide Airport to check into Virgin, the screens, you could choose Rex or Virgin.
Right.
Oh.
So I feel like they must be associated. Right. So you're giving Virgin the money anyway. Yeah, but
I don't care.
You're giving it to the little part of their subsidiary that's trying hard.
Yeah.
If it was my birthday on Rex, they'd give me a plane.
Mate, you could fly. You want to fly?
Yeah, I know.
Happy birthday.
I would.
Jason, have you played Flight Simulator? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think you could land this plane? Most men think they can. So.
I have landed a plane.
I know, you could. Life. You literally
could.
Have
you actually landed a plane?
Yes.
Oh, I feel like I was in Air Force Cadets when I was there. I know that. I know you're in the cadets.
So what do you think you do, Carl, in Air Force Cadets? Look at planes?
Yes. Build them out of, build models out of balsa wood.
No, I've landed 152 Cessnas.
Shit, that's terrifying.
It's okay.
He's landed 152
Cessnas. He's landed.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Anyway,
but not 153.
So I rock up to Rex. Walk down a business aisle. My bags clearly a couple of kilos over 23 kilos.
He doesn't give a shit.
In business class, you get 32. I rock up.
It's hard to get over 3 days, but you've got to put some heavy shit in there.
Oh, yeah, I heavy shit.
Yeah. You're like, I'll take my fucking gaming console.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't take my Xbox. So I had my Switch in there.
Yeah. Nice.
I had a diffuser for the room.
Nice.
And just some creature comforts.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I had a week's worth of costumes, which was a lot for me because it's different heavy jackets for me. I can rotate through a couple of pairs of pants, but all my Murder Village costumes rely on different jackets and a couple of different suits. So I had shorts and t-shirts and a whole bunch of costumes in there as well. So I was over the limit, but I rock up, bang, dang. And lady's like, there you go. And I'm like, cool. She looks at me blankly and I was like, yeah, but that's my flight. I'm just going to Adelaide this morning for the Fringe. She's like, no, let me just check again. Have you got your ID? And I'm like, sure. Checks. No. Do you have your booking confirmation? Sure. Yeah. I open it up. Here it is. Here it is there. And she looks and she goes, that was yesterday.
Your flight was the day before?
Yeah. I booked my flight for the Sunday, not the Monday.
Jeez.
Me. And here's what I
so that's not on
happened.
Rex.
Well, No. 100% on me. 100% on me. And I said to the lady.
Yeah.
I said.
It's my birthday.
Please.
I said to the lady. I said, I know this is not your fault.
But fuck you.
I'm very annoyed with myself right now. So any negative energy I'm giving out right now is aimed squarely at me, not at you.
Right.
Right. And so then I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like this. And she's doing her best to calm me down and stuff. And I was just like, fuck, fuck, fucking idiot. And here's what I think happened, because I was looking at Webjet at the time, and I was looking at the Virgin fares and stuff on Webjet. And then I went, fuck, I'll just book through the Rex flight thing because it's cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Webjet calendar went from Sunday to Monday, and the other one went from Monday to Monday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd been putting the clicking the pattern of the day on the Webjet one,
yeah,
and I just clicked it the same on the other one, and
bought him a cropper,
yeah. And I didn't check. I just went, cool. No, I'm going to go. And part of it was just the rush of blood to go, fuck Virgin, I'm a Rexman now. and I booked the wrong day. So it turned out I did book a fare that was flexible, and it cost me $100, $150 to
change it,
which it was still a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But wow. At least it wasn't like the whole fare.
Yeah.
So they were very nice to me. I made an ass of myself. I did book the right thing home. I checked it at the nice. Time. But yeah. So I flew on Rex. Great. Up to Pointy End. Just so nice. Hot meal. And yeah, came home in the morning at 6 a.m. Got bacon and eggs up the front. It was
really
yeah.
Shit.
It was for the same price or less than it would have cost me
for Virgin.
Because Virgin, I often upgrade to like the economy XBIT for like an extra $60 or $90 or whatever it costs on top of the normal fee.
Yeah, right.
And so for less than that, it was Rex was crazy.
Mm, wow.
So I was so angry at myself. Yeah. I called Sam, had a little cry. It was just like, I can't believe I did that. Sam's like, it's done. Don't worry about it. It's done. And
she tried to put it on Sam. Why did you do that, Sam?
No, I didn't.
Why did you stop me? Why did you stop me?
I just needed some comfort from my wife.
Help me, Sammy. Come to the airport.
She talked me down. She talked me off the ledge.
Good.
Took me off the ledge. Dear. And then and then poor Amberley, it happened to Amberley as well on the way out.
Oh, really?
She booked the wrong.
Amberley, who is a Murder Village cast member.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't feel so bad about that.
Yeah. it's a crazy time. Yeah. Because I had I didn't stuff up the flights, but I had the flight problems because I'd booked for the Monday to fly with me and Bridget were going to fly over to Adelaide on the Monday.
Yeah.
But then I'd got word, I got invited to play in a big theatre sports show on the Sunday before I arrived.
That's the other reason why, because I got invited to that too.
Yeah, yeah.
So the third was flying around in my brain and I should have booked for the fourth.
Yeah.
And initially, I was going to book for the third, and then it got cancelled. Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, it'd be a good opportunity to spruik the show. A lot of people come to this theatre sports show. So what I'll do is I'll change my flight. I'll use it as a marketing spend, you know what I mean? So I changed my flights to the Sunday. It was all good. And just about 2 days after I changed my flights and paid for the new flights, I got the email saying, oh, the theatre sports show's been cancelled.
Oh,
we lost our venue.
Venue fell through.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, oh, fuck.
So now you're flying
separately
to Bridges.
So I'm flying on the Sunday instead of the Monday. And then and leading up to the flying, like there was so much, we were so busy. And I'm like, the thought of having to get ready to fly on the Sunday and worry about Bridget flying on the Monday, I was like, fuck, I've got to change my flights back. So that we're flying out together. So I ended up then changing my flights back.
Right.
And each time the flight that I was changing to was more expensive. So it wasn't just the change. It was the change plus the difference.
Yeah.
But in the end, I was so glad that I paid to move back because if we'd flown separately, it would have been so stressful.
Oh,
but
in
the end, it was delightful and it all worked good. But yeah, the flying in and out of Adelaide for some reason for everyone was causing
change.
Yeah, because I was invited to play in that show as well, but I hadn't booked yet. And I was about to book when I got that email, which was lucky because I would have had to change as well. I probably would have just gone on that day, actually. Yeah. But that's why when the third was on the screen, it didn't even click in my head.
Flying
that
to Adelaide
is
weird as well because you fly so close to the houses as you're coming into land. It's like I don't notice.
I never look.
Oh, really?
I'm always looking at a screen.
Oh, it's really, because other cities you could, like Melbourne, you're flying in, it's pretty empty space.
Yeah,
you see some houses and stuff like that. But Adelaide, it's like, shit, those houses are close.
It's like Sydney.
Yeah.
Here's a plain fact. Plane adjacent.
Okay.
It is estimated that 1,000 extra deaths occurred in the months following 9/11 because Americans chose to travel by car instead of plane. They're all like, oh, God, can't trust planes, better get on the road, smash,
shit,
dead.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of them didn't have licenses, to be fair.
Yeah, sure.
They just were stealing cars. They're like, it's the only way to get around. I'm not flying. Normally I fly downtown to buy my groceries.
Hey, I saw a concert on the Labor Day Monday.
Oh, yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Out and about in the world.
Well, when I say a concert, it was concert / sort of performance, I guess. Like, it's not like going to a place and you stand. It was like at Hamer Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a Ukrainian band called Ducka Brucka, which we've listened to on this podcast a fair few years ago.
Wow.
We played a little bit of it.
Of course we did.
And so it's kind of folky, almost punky, some of it.
Folky punky.
Folky punky.
Punky folky. Punky.
It's good. It's great. I love it. And I listen to it independently.
Well, if it's lured you out of the house, you must love it.
Mm. So, yeah, well, Miria's mum bought us tickets for Christmas. That was the Christmas present to take us to go see him. And the seats were double A. And Miria's like, "Mum, we're in the front row."
Mm.
Like at Hamer Hall. That's too close. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be like craning my neck up. Anyway, we turn up there. It's the double A is a section.
Right.
And it's four rows. And we're in the fourth row.
Oh.
And so we turn up there and I'm like, so I sent you guys photos of how big the place is
because
it's massive. I don't know the capacity is. It's like-
Chris Hodge.
20.
Ah, Sam, she'll know.
20. Yeah. I feel like it would be like close to 2,000. Yeah,
Sam does their presentation right there.
Right. Yeah. It's massive. Yeah,
couple of K.
And we're like four rows from the front.
Wow.
And so we can see them because Alexander's going, "Oh, I mean, awesome to sit up in that high bit." And I was like, "Look at the people. Can you see their faces?" And he's like, "Not really." And I was like, "That's what we'd be looking at on stage, four people. Because they don't do anything. They sit down and play." But fuck, it's one of the best concert things I've ever seen.
Nice.
Like they've been playing for 20 years. They're like fucking great. They're so tight, great instrumentalists.
So who was that? You, Miria, Alexander?
It was me, Miria, Alexander, Miria's mum together, and then Miria's auntie, uncle.
Oh, the whole family.
Yeah,
all the
Ukraine. Like
Ukraine was there.
Basically, every Ukrainian in Victoria was there. Yeah,
Could you get a bratwurst out the front?
Bratwurst? It's not Germany. Fucking racist.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jason's coming from nowhere.
And can you get a...
But can you get a bratwurst?
Could you get a boiled dumpling?
Kransky? Front?
Just stop. Veronica?
That's what I meant.
That's like a pierogi, like a dumpling sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I meant.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
No. Also,
could you get a bratwurst?
Stinking hot.
Someone missed a trick.
Yeah. Yes, you could get a bratwurst.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, your rubbish disposal.
I know. They're louder than tree guys. I scared the shit out of those tree guys.
I think go and ask the rubbish guy
how long is this bullshit going to happen for?
you should just stand outside. Set up a chair outside. And anytime anyone comes by and makes any noise, how long is this bullshit going?
Just a megaphone so you don't have to raise your voice. Yeah, anyway,
I just do it from the balcony.
I like to imagine that's what people say when they start our podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is this bullshit?
So there's like 2,000 people at this place that mostly Ukrainian. And most of them are people who have obviously come after the war. Like they're descendants of people from Ukraine and stuff. And it was amazing being in the audience with just Ukrainian people everywhere. Yeah. They're playing, so there's one song they start playing and I look over to Miriam and she's like just tears like pouring down her face. Because they sing in Ukrainian mostly and she can understand a little bit and her mum can speak it fluently. But there was also all this imagery. They had artists do animation and stuff that was projected at the back behind them and things like that. And they're in Ukrainian dress. But then there'd be messages like Russia is a terrorist state. They weren't like, but they were really quiet and shy, quite humble sort of thing. But they're posting these messages like free Ukraine will win and all this sort of stuff. And the audience are just like, it was like full on.
It was
like,
powerful.
Like you could feel emotion in the room and stuff like that. Like you go to a concert like, this is the best. Unless it's like a Taylor Swift concert where there'd be a huge amount of emotion. Because it's like, oh my God, it took me 3 days to get these tickets and, you know, I've had to chop off an arm and sell it. It was incredible. And then they did this auction thing towards the end where he's done this little painting.
Would you get a bratwurst?
Yeah, I got a bratwurst.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Just a whole meat tray.
I feel like patting you on the head and going, yes, I did, Jason. Yes, I did. And then
the whole crowd turn to you and say, you're not Ukrainian. Not Ukrainian. Not Ukrainian.
He smells like Russia. Get him. So they donate all the merch money they make to Ukraine. And he's got this little painting. He goes, we're going to auction it off. We started at like $300. And he's hilarious. They don't speak much during the thing. They have a little bit here and there and all sort of stuff. And then so he's running the auction and he's really funny, this guy. And it ends up getting into this bidding war, and it ends up selling for like $4,500. And he started at
Alexander won the bid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, stop doing that. Stop sticking your hand up, dude.
You don't understand how auctions work. Oh, he understands. Oh. He understands.
I want that painting, Dad. Mm. It will be mine.
Save your money for the bratwurst.
But yeah, yeah, it was like, and there was like so many standing ovations. Mm. They played because they, people
almost too many.
Well, it's a weird one because at a concert you're standing and you know, so you're doing your thing, but I think it's a way to show appreciation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't happen until about three quarters of the way through where they played this song, and it was really like, next time they come, we should go see them because I think everyone fucking love it. Like,
I don't know. You haven't talked it up enough.
Haven't I?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not sensing that it's going to be fun.
There's bratwurst.
Yeah, oh, I'm there.
Yeah, it was fucking amazing. Like, and everyone left and it was just like, this is
changed.
And my hands were affected. So sore, like so much clapping. My hands was, I couldn't get my wedding ring off. My hands were swollen.
You've never been more married than you were since after that concert.
But it was one of those ones where it was like, I felt like I was part, it was, there was a concert, but I was part of something like big. Like it was really, and at the end there's flags and people are lifting flags up and stuff. Like it was, and you know.
That's what happens when you get out of the house, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty exceptional. Like,
no, that's how it is every time I leave the house.
It doesn't happen when I go
like
to.
You feel like you're part of something big.
When I go to the, when I go shopping and stuff. It happened once, like when we went to the Adelaide Festival. I think it was 91. I think Bridget and Sam were there. They'd finished schools, but I think they came back. We saw a play called White Paper Roses or Flowers or something. And it's about the
still stuck with you.
Tiananmen Square massacre. Sure. And it was like 2 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in there watching it and stuff. It was an amazing play. Also, we were like young drama students, year 12 drama students. So everything was amazing.
Yes.
But afterwards there would be a Q&A. And so in the, during this Q&A, we found out that there were like 30 people from China who were part of the Tiananmen survived the massacre and stuff. And so they got up and they were talking and they were talking to the people on the thing and people, you know, like they were crying. The actors started crying. The wanky year 12 drama students started crying. But it was like, holy fuck, we just, like that was, we were part of something. We're part of something.
Palpable theater.
And then we went out for bratwurst.
Yeah. Chinese bratwurst.
Chinese bratwurst. Kind of bratwurst. The best.
Yeah.
Everything's made in China.
I've got a Hollywood update.
Ooh.
Nicolas Cage has refused to do National Treasure 3 because it's for Disney.
Oh.
Refuses to work for
Disney.
What's
his beef? Why? What's his beef with Disney?
Hey, don't question Nick Cage's beef.
I mean,
he's got a list. Sent out a tweet going, not going to happen.
He's got a Buckley list and someone in Disney's on it.
He, I felt like they were throwing him a bit of a lifeliner in that period of time in his life. I think he was struggling a fair bit. He's lost all his money and stuff. Whatever. And now he doesn't want to do it.
Nicolas Cage says no.
He's like, can I play Nicolas Cage in this movie?
No. Yeah, well, then I'm not interested. That's all I do
that's
now.
That's all I do now.
Variations on the Nicolas theme.
Yeah.
I better do my very final cricket update. 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 That's the last one for a while.
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it had some real gravitas and emotion.
I did. That's what I was doing. I was doing the sad. That was my Dr. Brucker.
So before we go into it, you can all have a bratwurst.
Yay!
Thank you. The Australian bratwurst.
The worst bratwurst. It's the bratwurst.
It's the worst brat.
The worst worst.
That's what I kept saying to Alexander when he was bidding on the painting. Yeah,
you're the bratwurst.
You're the worst brat.
And the worst worst.
So look, this is going to be scant on details because
you were away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can hardly remember.
Oh.
But I played my final game of the season. I'm back with D Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you're happy?
Where
with?
I belong.
Okay. This is the Jumpets. All the guys. Yeah.
This is the
Silky Paul Hillock.
This is the team where I'm, you know, I've got an average of 100, over 100.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I can only do damage to that, but basically, unless I get myself a sweet nod out or score 100. We're playing the Flemington Colts.
Right.
I realised where the confusion, I think I was a bit confused. I was like, there's the Williamstown Colts or is there Flemington Colts? They're both the Colts. Williamstown and Flemington, all Colts. So I think maybe Yulden should be.
Off.
We should be the Colts as well. I think.
Yeah. Just that whole division.
Because Yulden is looking for a name. We don't have a name, as we've talked about. I'll just say go Colts.
Colts. Go Colts.
Colt off. You can have a Colt off.
It seems to be the default situation.
you should be the Ponies.
Yeah.
Or you should be the Colts. Like it's a cult.
Yeah.
The Yulden Stallions. Anyway.
Oh, what's better than a Colt? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is a Stallion better than
a Stallion? There's nothing better than a Stallion.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a. Maybe a hypothetical animal. No, that's not the right word. Mythical animal.
Oh,
like a hypothetical animal.
You could be like a unicorn.
Yeah, or a griffin.
Griffin.
Yeah.
It's going to be a horse, but a better horse.
Yeah.
Oh, griffin is...
It's got horse-like qualities.
Mm. Yeah.
It's some more of a... What is that? A lion and an eagle? Or a lion and a hawk or something?
Yeah.
No, I think
that's pretty cool. But I feel like you can ride it like a horse.
Yeah.
It's got horse vibes.
I mean, you can ride anything like a horse if you want.
Just be a liger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Liger feels apologetic as a word.
Right.
I feel like liger's got too much of the lion guy from that Netflix documentary. It's just fucking with
Tiger King.
Doing it. Yeah. Just fucking with stuff that you shouldn't be fucking with.
Yes.
I don't think that's happened naturally in the wild, has it?
If you have any suggestions for Rick's cricket team name, please hit us up on the Discord.
Yeah. So we're playing the Flemington Colts, and this is the team where they're dominating D grade because they're essentially their A reserve team that has dropped down to D grade for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
Everyone's a bit shitty with them. Like they're just going in and bullying people who, you know, just trying to have some fun on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, that's, play with some like-minded folks, and these guys turn up with their fucking swagger.
I hate that shit.
I realize it's my bugbear in sport. Like, I used to hate it when I played futsal, and there'd be someone else on the opposition team who was clearly slumming it in the shit grade, and who, like, had far too much skill to be playing shit grade futsal.
Yeah.
And it used to really irk me. And that's the only time I would get kind of deliberately edgy with my sledging, like almost like petulant.
Yeah.
Because I'm just what are you fucking doing here?
Because it's not fair.
Yeah.
You're ruining
for everyone.
There are grades for a reason.
Yeah.
Stick with the grades. Because in indoor cricket, when the three of us used to play as well, sometimes you'd come up with a team that's just like, why are you playing us? Like, I mean, it's because there wasn't a match for us, or they got this team together and they'd just come in and be arseholes.
Yeah.
Like, just like,
There should be fines for dropping people back.
And so whenever we played teams that we smashed, which would happen occasionally in indoor cricket, we weren't jerks about it. We weren't laughing. You know, I'm not going to start bowling leg spin.
Yeah.
You know, just fucking looping, whatever. That bowling balls I can't bowl because I'm like, whatever, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It annoys me.
So
here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We've got some good background ambient noise for the cricket update.
Sounds like Jason.
It adds a little bit of jangly, you know, tension.
Sounds like Jason landing a Cessna.
Yeah. This is Cessna 153 that he's bringing to the ground. So we go into bat first.
Sorry, when he says landed, he parachuted out.
Yeah.
Boom.
The plane ended up on the ground.
Yeah.
In many pieces. After he was flying it.
Sometimes in someone's house.
Yeah. Yes. So we're batting first against this shit team that no one wants to be playing.
Yeah.
I'm going in at number four, something like that, or four or five, I can't remember which. That's where I like to be in the batting order these days. That's where I can, you know, I've got time to thrive.
Yeah. Who's captaining?
It's Supernova.
Okay.
Supernova is leading the charge.
Is Corrigan there with his algorithm?
Johnny Corrigan is not there. I feel like he's retired.
Oh no!
He was unavailable for this week, and the week previous had been that was the game that I'd wanted to play in D grade, and I was available, and they put me in D Sunday.
That's right.
Because they were playing on so I missed Johnny Corrigan's farewell match.
Oh, no.
Right.
Playing against the team that I scored a century against. Anyway, I was very bitter about it. Anyway, so bitter in fact that they put me in D Saturday just to shut me up.
Yeah.
Knowing that I'd be playing the Flemington fucking Colts and that my average was going to take a battering.
Yeah.
Their opening bowlers have got some zip to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, not D-grade zip. It's not crazy. It's not. You're not like, oh, this is unplayable. But you're scared. Like, that's faster bowling than I face this season. Yeah. So I can't even remember when I go in. There's not a lot of runs on the board.
So you go in, but you're batting first. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, we're batting first. Yeah, cool. I go in at four or five and dig in, and I bat quite well. I'm batting very defensively against the faster bowlers.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And then we get to the second string bowlers. Me and John, not John Corrigan, John, I can't remember what his surname is, but I batted with him the week before. And
John Connor.
He's a, let's call him John Connor.
Yeah, he's
been set back from the future, but he's
good batsman.
He's a good batter.
Yeah.
seem to remember.
And so we dig in and we're batting quite well. We get into the second, the change bowlers. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to hit some boundaries.
Hey.
But then I misjudge a ball. I get clean bowled for 29 though. 29.
29 is good.
It's a good score.
I'm gonna guess
my average though. It's not 109.
They should have that multiplied times the grade above.
Yeah. I feel like I should get a multiplier. Yeah.
That's easy. That's an easy 50.
But we struggle along. No one's able to really do much. The guy who got me out, who bowled me, I was his first wicket. He went up to take five for.
All right.
Okay.
Took a bag.
Yeah.
So no shame there.
Yeah. So I didn't feel too bad.
Did you top score? I feel like that.
I top scored with 29.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I did all I could do. I had a good run out there. But we only got like 130 on the board or something.
Oh shit.
They come out and they're batting. We get a couple of wickets along the way. But then one of their batters comes out and he's clearly, this guy's having a no trouble.
Right.
And this is where for the first time this season, this is where my banter has a little edge to it.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it friendly.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I know I'm on the edge of getting a little bit like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
But my banter is all about them being in the wrong grade.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's dropped down from A reserve. He doesn't want to go out here. he doesn't want to get bossed around by the D grade boys. So I'm just constantly, you know.
And is he saying anything in response to this?
He's like, I've played A-res twice. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
For twice seasons.
Yeah. He's like, I'm pure D grade. I'm like,
pure D grade. You're a mud blood.
Then the next ball he hits for four, and I'm like, yeah, right. D grade, just say. I'm like, are you guys using the same alphabet as us? You know, so it's that vibe.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
I'm still
yeah,
trying to
yeah.
keep it, you know,
yeah.
with a bit of comedy to it, but I'm just chipping away at him.
Yeah, yeah.
But making no difference.
Right.
Like, this guy scores, I don't think we get him out. He might score, does he score 100? I don't know. There's not enough runs on the board for him to score 100, but he doesn't go out. And he's just smacking it wherever he wants. We're getting more and more. My banter ends up being going, this can't even be fun for you anymore. This must feel like punching a toddler in the face. There's a lot of that. Like, how is this even fun for you?
Because it's not, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's like a video game where you set it on the lowest setting and you're just like, I could play this with my eyes closed. It's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
And then for the person who's getting absolutely walloped, it's like, well, this isn't fun for us either.
So they win easy. And that's my last game for the season. But D Saturday is playing one more game.
Right.
So I'm out. But what has happened is at the end of my run, I'm winning at the season stats for D Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm the leading run scorer.
Yeah.
And my average is my average has dropped to 80.
Right.
Which no one's going to catch my average.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Troy West is 29 runs behind me on the run ladder. Scored.
Oh.
Is this a name on a board in the
I don't know. I've never been in the calculation, so I don't even know what you get awards for.
Yeah.
But it's bragging rights for sure.
Mm.
And he's playing. He's got one more game up his sleeve.
And you're in Adelaide for this.
I'm in Adelaide for this. So he just needs a cheeky 29, 27 runs.
Is he playing
leading
the Colts?
Run scorer.
I mean, Colts.
No, they are not. I can't even remember who they're playing, but it's not the Colts because we just played them.
Did you say cunts?
Yeah, the Flemington cunts. So suffice to say, I'm following this game with interest. I'm interstate, but when Di Sato's playing,
you're
I'm
interstate.
He's in Adelaide.
I'm in Adelaide.
Oh, sorry. I thought this was leading up to this weekend.
Yeah, so this is the week after I played.
Okay.
I'm in Adelaide. I missed the final round of regular season.
Yeah.
With his average score on the line, with his total score on the line.
My average is in, no one's toppling my average of 80.
But your runs.
But my total run scored is in jeopardy.
Right.
If Troy West can get, and Troy West is capable of scoring a cheeky 30 when needed, and he'll be none more motivated.
Yeah.
So I'm watching, they bowl first, they score. The opposition scores 230 something runs.
Holy
when you say you're watching, kids. You're watching.
I'm watching the live scores.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. And the scores are live. Like someone is doing it on the iPad. So it's updating. So I'm like 230 runs. That's a lot of runs. So there's definitely scope for Troy West to score 30 runs in here. Obviously, it's a battable wicket.
Or they're just awesome.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching and the runs are flowing. So the run chase is on and the runs are flowing. I'm like, gee, Troy West gets in here.
Where does he come into bat?
He normally comes in middle order, or I think he comes in the Troy West. I don't know if John Corrigan came up with this algorithm. I feel like it was, but the Troy West algorithm is that first wicket after drinks break, send Troy in.
Right. Yeah, right. Not before. He loves to be refreshed.
Yeah.
He likes a drink.
He doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Like, he can be relaxing all up. So
Yeah.
It's the first wicket that falls after drinks break, that's when you send Troy West in.
Right.
So I'm watching with interest. The run chase is happening. The wickets are falling.
Drinks come.
People are coming in. Drinks come. And the run chase is it's fascinating. Mm. Supernova is batting out of his skin. He's scoring over a run a ball.
Ooh, nice.
Captain's knock.
Yeah.
The runs are piling on. Are they going to make it? Is Troy West going to come in? Troy West does not bat.
Take that, Westy.
Denied.
He was denied no the chance to topple me off the top of the rankings.
That's great.
And
is it a captain's knock when you don't give someone like that a chance?
Well, it is because Greg Bonova, the supernova, ends up. They end up winning the match. They chase
Holy
down
crap.
Him scoring like well over a run a ball. Wow. Him and Sid just absolutely a huge knock. It was a joy to watch, but it did deny Troy West the chance to get on top of the leaderboard. Run scored. I couldn't have been more chuffed.
How's Westy? Have you talked to Westy? Is he salty?
No, I haven't seen it, but or maybe he took himself out. He's like, I don't want to take risks. You know, maybe he's like, I'm not interested.
Or he knew if he went into bat, he'd just buckle.
Yeah.
Oh, no, good under pressure, guys.
So I've ended the season leading run scorer for T-Saturday, leading average. Like, what a turnaround.
How are you not in C grade?
Well, and this is also part of, I'm like, I feel like I batted really well. Mm-hmm. I had some really good innings. And so am I any better than the Flemington cunts in that I probably should be in C grade, but I want to be in D grade because that's where I'm happy because I can score runs.
Yeah.
So but am I any better runs. Than those guys who, you know,
who stay down in the lower?
Who are slumming it. Am I slumming it in D grade?
But you've done all right in C grade. I know you've gone out a couple of times, but it's also, you know, that ceiling becomes the floor sort of thing. And then you build again from there.
But I also feel like I do well in D grade, but in a D grade kind of way. No one's looking at me bat and thinking he shouldn't be in this grade.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like I bat in a way that it's clear that I'm at D grade level, C at best. You know what I mean? So no one's looking at me thinking, this guy, what's he doing?
How did your,
you're not thinking like, oh, this guy's having a good game.
But you've got capacity to improve, where I think there's probably people
I bloody improved this season. How did your
WK stats come up?
It was a light year for me terms of I took some caught behinds. Mm. I think I got one stumping.
I definitely got a stumping.
I got some run outs. I had a sprinkling, but nowhere near. I feel like I got a lot more steady caught behinds in previous seasons. And I don't think I feel like the opportunities weren't coming. I spilled a few difficult chances, but maybe, I don't know.
Because you put so much effort into the WK, and now all of a sudden you're a batter WK. Mm. You're not a WK batter.
Yeah.
So you've switched.
But what I didn't deliver in, caught behinds, I feel like I delivered in banter. I feel like I earned my WK spot with sweet banter alone.
Yeah.
So I like that. But maybe my final frontier is to take a wicket. Maybe I need to focus on bowling. Maybe I need to give the gloves up. Or get on a team with Dirty Perko where we're sharing glove duties.
And bowling.
How do you feel
about your bowling? Because we haven't heard a lot about it.
Well, look.
In the nets.
In the nets again this season. I started to find some rhythm.
Yeah.
Whenever I was bowling, there was definitely people were going
grouping.
The gloves are waste. You're wasting yourself with the gloves.
What are you bowling fast?
No.
Spin?
Yeah. Well, no.
Just a slow.
Slow looping.
Slow looping, which is D grade gold. Slow loopy bastards get all the wickets in D grade. Right. So maybe that is the final frontier for me. I don't know. Maybe this season or next. Maybe when the knees start to get a little rickety.
Yeah.
And I'm no longer up and down. I'm
but it's the up and down.
Eyes are going.
The up and down is keeping you. they won't get rickety if you keep doing the up and down.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so maybe when my eyes are starting to go and I'm not seeing the ball as well and I'm getting more spilled caught behinds than clean glove work, you know, maybe I'm like, well, I've got to give the gloves away. I'm holding the team back. And that's the time to focus on my slow loopy.
I reckon next year you do all the things. You like become the all-rounder's all-rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. You share the gloves around.
Yeah. At the moment, it should be a game that's already lost, I guess, is they should throw me the ball when we're already no chance of winning.
Yeah.
Because I think the first couple of overs that I bowl are going to be a little yippy, a little nervy, you know what I mean? Because it'll be in my head. I need to ease into it.
Sure.
Because I know in the nets I can bowl some shit balls. And then once I find my rhythm, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
found
yeah,
my
right.
spot.
Yeah.
And I feel like in game conditions, I'm definitely going to choke like a bastard.
Right, right.
Hopefully it's an inconsequential time of the game.
Is it too much to ask for to go into bowling?
Mm.
And you should just stay focused on the two things rather than going to three. Devil's advocate here.
Just bowl a batter.
You know, just stick with your WK.
You're saying don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it.
Stop fucking with something that's working. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe not next season. I feel like I'm in a good rhythm at the moment.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
I'm just playing devil's advocate. You'd say no, I'm ready for it.
No. Carl's saying go for it, become the triple threat. I'm more on the Jason thing where I might wait until the gloves are starting to feel like... not as effective, where I'm letting the team down more than I'm helping.
Because you can heckle from any position.
Exactly.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Because if you bowl, you get to walk down the pitch.
Yeah.
Give him a stare.
Yeah, I don't know if you can when you're a slow bowler. I don't know.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. You just have to walk in, bowl the ball, and then take a few steps down the pitch.
When you're a slow bowler, you can talk to the wicketkeeper. You can just be like...
I think that... Fast bowlers can stare at a batter with venom and, you know, anger and I'm going to fuck you up.
Whereas it's threat.
Whereas the slow bowlers can look at him more like in that quizzical, like, ooh, you don't know what's, you know, like, ooh, you're confused right now.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, this is, ooh, I think I'm on top of you. You know, it's more of a like.
It's a hand on the chin, like,
Yeah, it's a smirk. It's like a smirk.
The complex puzzle is landing in my favor kind of way.
Yeah.
It's an evil villain smirk.
Yeah. It's a smirky look, not a hate, not a rage look.
Yeah. And I feel like you could get some good bounce out with smirks.
Yeah.
Just talking to the keeper, pass the batter.
Yeah.
Was close, Perko. Yeah. Perko, he had no idea.
How confused was he, Perko?
Can you smell the confusion down that end, Perko?
On a scale of one to dementia, how confused was he?
I mean,
you're right.
Yeah.
It takes care of itself. So anyway, we'll see. I'm just putting it on the table for future reference it is now the only, now that I'm a fully fledged, you know, award winning batter in T grade.
Yeah.
I imagine. I don't know. I am going to awards night.
When you're bowling
in the next season, I would start bringing in a bit more speed as well. Because you got some speed. You got that weird Jeff Thompson slinging action.
Yeah.
It's hard to read. It skips
I'm not the bowler I once was, Carl. My back's been through the ringer.
Okay.
And my accuracy is... What I've discovered, I was a very good bowler of indoor cricket ball for a time until I got the yips and then
That's
I was terrible.
True.
But I was very good. The indoor cricket ball and the outdoor cricket ball, different balls.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember even when I could bowl well with indoor cricket ball and then we went and played outdoor cricket, I wasn't that good. I couldn't get the right line and length with the outdoor cricket ball. And then recently I went to Western Australia, recently, like 7 years ago. And managed to play indoor cricket again. And I could play indoor cricket with that ball. I could bowl quite well with that ball again after having failed with an outdoor cricket ball. So
it's an indoor cricket ball has more bounce.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And it's lighter. So I think I was just,
You don't have to put as much back into an indoor cricket ball because it'll naturally ping more. Whereas with a normal cricket ball, you've actually got to throw more back in to get the bounce out.
So I feel like I'm only just starting to get the hang of an outdoor cricket ball in terms of where the release point. Yeah, I think that was the problem with me when I first started. My release point was indoor cricket focused, not outdoor cricket focused.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong focus.
Yeah.
That is the end of a breakthrough season of cricket updates.
Who
thought we'd
be
talking about the century I scored and the leading run scores and the average? Who would have thunk it? I basically doubled my career run tally
in one season. Yeah, right.
And absolutely shattered my I think my average for the across all teams was about 30, which is through the roof. I think, yeah, wow. Previously, I was sitting on about 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't know if I've ever asked this, but do you have a name for your bat?
No, I don't.
Really?
Although it is a vintage bat that gets a lot of comment from.
A vintage Grey Nichols.
It's called the Giant.
Oh.
So I should have given it a name. It's Andre. So I should call it Andre.
I think you'd be calling it Vinny the Giant because it's vintage.
No, Andre is a much better name. Yeah.
No, because it's vintage.
Yeah, but Andre.
Andre.
Because of Andre the Seal, that famous. That,
oh,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, and the bat is a giant seal of approval. Yeah.
Why don't you call it Andre 3000?
Ah, I call it 3000.
Yeah.
Based
on your banter.
I call it Jonas Brothers because they got that song about it's the year 3000.
Right.
Yeah, Jonas Brothers. Which Jonas Brothers is the best one? Which one's the best bat?
Just call it Jonas.
Jonas.
Just call it the whale.
The whale.
Yeah, Jonas. Because you're like the whale on balls.
Yeah, the whale. So Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I call it Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Or Malcolm Fraser.
Yeah.
I put pants down. I call it pants down.
Pants down. That's it.
The old pants down's done it again.
Pants down.
If you've got any ideas for Rick's bat name, please join us on the Discord.
Can I suggest that you actually retire the vintage bat and get a good bat?
I am 100% on the. That's just about push me over. No, I am thinking. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm turning 50 this year.
Yeah.
I'm about to join the
illustrious.
Golden Boys.
Yeah, we're about to become the Golden Boys.
Yeah.
Golden Boys proper.
Do we hit 500 episodes, then just restart the podcast as the Golden Boys and start from zero?
Reboot. Or do we start, or do we just release the same episode under two podcast names?
Yeah.
Could you do? I mean, who's going to stop us? We upload, we just.
And one of them takes off for some bizarre reason.
The Golden Boys is doing much better than
the Golden Boys?
We just record a different opening. Welcome to episode one of the Golden Boys.
I reckon, because you know what? We could get on the front page of Apple again.
Yeah.
People would give us a listen. We love those Golden Boys. We love those old men.
Yeah. Shred my Weet-Bix, Goldie Boldies.
We just get a new album cover of us like dressed as the Golden Girls.
But we do no more work.
No,
this is good.
No, I think we could do that.
I like what we're hearing.
We're going to game the system. We're going to get that ad money. Mm. We're going for longer today, so have we got more time? Because we're not doing a double
now?
We're
in an hour 10. I mean, we did not put an episode up last week, so we're catching up.
Because it's my 50th, I was thinking, I'm thinking of a good gift for myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be the cricket bat.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, a brand new cricket bat. But what holds me back? Cricket bat. Help me out, any listener aficionados. It's something I should know, but I can't figure it out. Is that when you buy a new bat, I feel like a lot of them are like, buy this great new bat, but you've got to knock it in.
Yeah.
You've got to do stuff. Like there's a lot of work you've got to do to get the bat ready.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
I want to buy a bat that's ready to go.
Yeah. Oh,
surely
why?
You can.
Surely you can, but I don't know if you can. I don't want to buy the wrong bat. I don't want to buy a bat that I've got to spend 8 hours smacking with a ball, a stick.
I've got one.
But that's just simulating just hitting balls with the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could just go take it to training.
I don't want to do that. I want a bat that's ready to go.
I have a ball.
Pants down was. Pants down was ready to go.
Pants down.
For some reason, I have a ball on a stick, and I still have it.
Yeah.
I have it over there.
Oh, look, I can get a ball on a stick. They're not hard to find.
I feel like that'd be something you're into.
Do your wrist in.
I'm not into. Because also, I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're just hitting a... How could you do it wrong?
If anyone could do it wrong, I could.
Rick, have you been hitting the back of the bat?
But I'm also like, surely in this day and age, they sell bats that are like, they ready know bats. There's people like me who are like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like pre-knocked in.
Yeah.
Which I just need to go to the cricket store and find out. But it has been holding me back from buying a new bat.
I would go online and say, can you buy pre-knocked in bats?
I'm scared of buying the wrong bat.
Just pay someone $50. Pay a kid at the cricket club $50 to knock the bat in for you.
Oh, Millie, you'd do it.
For $50?
Yeah.
You'd have to pay it more.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, here's one.
Yeah.
Waxsports.com.au. Free knocking in with all bats.
Oh, there you go.
So they'll knock them in for you.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
All right.
From Wax Sports.
Wax Sports. I'm going to go to Wax Sports. I've got to wax some sport on it.
W-A-X?
No,
W-H-A-C-K. Wax Sports.
That's what they do to the bats before you buy them. They whack them.
They whack them.
They just whack them nonstop.
They whack them in for you.
They're just secondhand bats. They come pre-whacked. Selling new price.
Oh, geez, they've got a range.
Oh, do they? Rick Brown.
Pretty whacked.
But how do you know? You need to go feel it and stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
Hold it in the hand.
Yeah, I need to go and talk to someone. Because I feel like I need a weighty ish bat. Like, I want a bit of bang for my buck.
You want some willow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good word. Don't get a balsa bat.
Nah. Or do get a balsa bat.
I mean, light.
I wouldn't expect it.
Nah. First ball, break me bat.
Fuck you, bat.
You bat. All right.
So I've got 800 bats ready to go.
Whack in a balsa bat. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
wax sports are based in Brisbane. You can't get a wax sport outside of Queensland.
What's on your list, Carl?
I had an epiphany.
An epiphany? A big one or a little one?
And a peony, let's say.
Ooh.
So, you know, my thing was like, I wake up, need to go to the toilet. It's like, fuck that, I'll just go to sleep. And if I have to pee the bed, I'll pee the bed. I changed my tune.
Oh,
don't wake up one night and I'm like, I think I've got to pee. And I was like, oh, I'll just go back to sleep. But it was like early enough where it's like, I'm not
comfortable. It's going to weigh on my mind and my bladder.
I go to the toilet, have a pee, go back to bed, fall asleep again. Even if it takes half an hour, I fall asleep. Sleep much longer than I would.
Yes, Carl.
And then next night I wake up and it was about 5 and I'm like, oh, no, I won't go. And I'm like, I'll do a test. So I go pee, come back. Again, it took me a little bit of time, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm not. Don't think I'm going back to sleep. And then I just fall into sleep.
Empty bladder.
Sleep in. Yeah. I'm like,
this bladder shit's been holding you back.
And I'm checking my Fitbit scores and stuff. My sleep's much better than it.
Oh. Yeah,
of course it is. My sleep's good, but now it's like, this is fucking good.
Yeah, next level.
And so now if I wake up and I feel a little pee, I'm like, fuck it. I just get straight up. Because the thing was that debate where it's like, should I get up?
Yeah.
No. And so I'd given up. I would just be like, I don't have that thing anymore. I just go, I'm just going to go back to sleep. But now it's like, I'm just going to go pee.
Yeah.
And I go pee.
No, I've always been on that side. Yeah. Because for that exact reason, because I'm like, oh, if I just go to the toilet now, I'm going to sleep so much better.
Yeah.
But the only time it really weighs, like I hate is when I wake up at like, you know, 45 minutes before I'm meant to get up.
Yeah,
don't do that. And I'm like, oh, but I'm like, I should pee because this next 45 minutes is going to be shit. I'm not going to sleep. I'm just going to sit here wishing I'd gone to pee, but I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
And there's no sleep benefit because, you know, I'm going to come back. I'm not really going to get any sleep benefit. All I'm going to be able to lie here more relaxed. That's the only time I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Golden Boys podcast.
We are ready to go.
But that was the thing that I realized is that even though I've gone, I'll just go back to sleep, and I do go back to sleep, it's not a good sleep. Nah, like there's little wakes and things.
Your bladder's still at you. Like, come on, man.
It's not, I would call it dozing rather than sleep.
At best. Fretful dozing.
Yeah, fretful dozing. Yeah. Yes. That's the Golden Boys band. Yeah. We're called fretful dozing.
I got a doctor update too. I got discharged from my heart special.
Oh, I got discharged after my
pericarditis and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, dude, nice. So you're all good.
All good with the heart stuff, just back to regular GP checkups and stuff like that. So, yeah,
nice.
saw my cardiologist for hopefully the last time last week, which was good when I got back from Adelaide.
I've got to go every 2 years to see mine because what is it? Ventricle? No, I can't remember. Some valve. That's fine. But
so, you know, he said if you feel any chest pain, come back. But basically we're through the pericarditis.
Sweet. We do have comedy festival coming up for Jason and me. Carl's obviously doing Boy and His Poop. But that's just sold out ongoing. Years ago.
Yeah. You can't get tickets. Well, it's harder than Hamilton to get tickets.
Yeah. So Jason and I are doing shows that you can get tickets to. Although Murder Village, I'd always be quick. If you wanted to come see Murder Village at Butterfly Club.
Yeah, whenever I've tried, like it's like, oh, Murder Village, yeah, cool. And then it's times where I'm like, cool, I'll go. And Jason's like, yeah, no, sorry.
At what point should Dave Massingham, who runs Murder Village, just put it on at the Athenaeum and see what happens?
We are there. If you follow us on socials, probably Instagram and Facebook, we'll have some tiles with our Murder Village dates on it. There may be chances that Rick and I are playing together.
Yeah.
But I'm playing the first 3 weeks, the last week of the comedy festival. I'm going overseas. I finished my show, Don't Go Jason Waterfalls, on the 15th and on the 16th.
When does that open?
That opens on the 25th, Monday week.
Hey, before the festival starts. That's always a great time.
It's a preview. I'm calling it a preview.
Yeah.
Preview Monday week. And then every Monday of the festival at the Butterfly Club, 7:15, 3 shows only. Come down. It'll be fun. I hope.
Yeah. How bad can it be? That's the tagline.
How bad can it be is in my brain at the moment is high levels of anxiety.
Yeah. So stop talking about it.
I'm regretting. I wish I'm regretting saying yes to doing it.
Impro baby.
I hate myself.
Impro baby.
And
maybe that's the show. The show is about you having to do the show, and it's just the discussion.
The
about
show. The show is just me self-loathing on stage the whole
what
time.
What are you doing here? Why did you come?
I mean, Daniel Kitson. That's all Daniel Kitson shows are.
So, so the me, Daniel my Kitchen show Sink. Is just like a Daniel Kitson show.
Yeah, only better.
Kitson Sink.
Jason and I will be in Murder Village. Jason and me in Don't Go Jason Waterfalls. You can catch me in Sooth Players, Completely Improvised Shakespeare as well. That's at Trades Hall. Mm-hmm. And I'll also be in Kit Kat Prov, the Improvised Cabaret, which is at Melbourne Town Hall every Friday and Saturday night. That is always a cracking good show.
That's late night, isn't it?
Late night, 10:30. Treat yourself treat to some yourself. Late night fun times. I'm also in Shakespeare Ghostbusters. That's right. Got a week-long run at... in St. Martin's in South Yarra.
Oh, wow.
And then Jason and I are also appearing together in Damien Callinan's show, Unlikely Friends.
What?
Which is an interview show where we play famous characters from history, but just as ourselves. We're not doing impersonations.
Yeah, yeah.
And he interviews us about all the crazy shit we got up to, and we just make shit up about.
Do you not know your character before you go on stage?
We know our character, and we study. So
it's research.
We use that. We use fact to bolster up our fiction.
Nice.
Also, I'm doing a show on the Sunday. I think it's the 5th, or hang on, let me look it up.
5th is a Friday.
Is a Friday, maybe. The 3rd, I don't know, hang on, let me look it up. It's called A Bunch of People Do an Improv Show.
Classic.
It's called that because...
is that what it's called?
For legal reasons. But it is the ensemble from Thank God You're Here.
Ooh.
Doing one show only together, improvised show on a Sunday afternoon.
Couldn't call it Thank Heavens You've Arrived?
Nothing to do with that. We could barely mention the name of the show at all. We could mention it in our blurb. But it's called A Bunch of People Do an Improv Show. It's myself and the other ensemble, talented ensemble members.
Where's
from
that
Thank God You're Here. It's at a hotel venue, like one of the places that
festival hub venue,
venue
in the city.
In the city.
I'd say Victoria Hotel.
Yeah, that's what I feel like it would be.
For Thank Heavens You've Arrived.
Hello.
The improv show.
The show.
Get to that.
Yeah.
Get to that. Maybe you'll be the one who comes through the door.
Oh.
That's not how that show works.
No,
I'm sorry. You could definitely come along. I guarantee you will get to be the person who enters the door.
There are no doors. Let that be known to
Thank heavens you've arrived.
Sunday the 7th at 3:45 p.m. at the Western Hotel.
Oh, the Western?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fancy, fancy little piece. Thank heavens you've arrived does not fuck around.
Nah, that's big.
So, yes, big. So that's...
Shout out to the Thank God You're Here legal team who like to listen to our podcast.
Yes.
pull us up on all the things that we do wrong. I feel like we've walked a fine line just now. But I don't think you'll find anything that you can take us to task over.
No. A group of people doing an improv show.
We're not criticizing the show.
Come on
down. Nor would we.
3:45 p.m. on a Sunday. Great people in it. Who have we got? Ben Russell, Tiana Hogben, Riley Nottingham,
Jason Gibby?
Nottingham, sorry, Barney Pomick, me, Pedro Cordroy,
hey.
And Carlo Ritchie, Amy Ruffle.
Oh, mate, the gang's all there.
Yeah, everyone's there. Come on down.
Thank heavens they've arrived.
Yeah. That's the end of
that's probably Carl Pluck.
I've just got a thing to say.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro just became a dad at 80.
Why wouldn't he?
There you go.
Didn't Pacino just become a dad?
Probably.
That's probably why they both.
It's like heat rivalry. They can't let go of that heat rivalry.
Did you see Pacino give the Oscar for best film?
No.
It's worth a look. Check it out. Okay. I'll show you after this.
I think I read something like, what are you doing?
But, yeah. It was
a train wreck, but
it was good worth stuff. A look.
So he's got 7 kids now. He's had 3 wives. His eldest kid is in their 50s.
Perfect. I mean, at least you've got a lot of babysitting options.
He basically, in an interview, just said, he basically doesn't parent.
No.
Like, she does all the work, and she does all of this and all of that, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm basically great work, like dude. A great-granddad who's the dad. I'm just like the cute elder relative in the corner
yeah.
who occasionally pats them on the head.
Yeah.
And when they come up and they say their first words, he says, "Are you talking to me?" And that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah. But that's probably all the time I've got.
Yeah.
Is it? What else can I say? Oh, I got one more thing. This is so dumb. You know the Tesla truck?
Oh, yes.
That weird space-looking truck?
Yeah.
It's made of stainless steel.
Mm.
And so it's been rusting.
Oh.
When rain hits it, right. it's not like rusting through in. Yeah. It's staining this truck with rust.
Well, that's not stainless at all.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and this is what they're saying.
So turning to brown.
It's not stainproof. It's stainless.
Oh,
like stainless steel can rust.
Ah.
It just stains less than other metals.
Ah, stain fewer.
Yeah.
So they're just turning into brown poop-colored trucks.
Well, people, these are the lists of things, and it's like you roll out a scroll that rolls down and rolls around the floor of things you can't do with the truck.
Yeah.
You can't do these things. You can't clean it outside in the sun. You can't do, like, it's like hilarious. Fucking ridiculous. The other thing is, there's all these people coming out and going, stainless steel is a shit thing to build a car out of. It's really hard. That's why it's shaped like that.
Right.
Because it's hard to shape.
Hard to bend, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and there's all these things that affect it. There's certain detergents you can't use on it.
Why have they made it out of stainless steel?
Because he's a fucking idiot.
Ah, of course.
It's Elon Musk.
Yeah.
He's like, look at this truck. It looks so cool. And it's like, also, super dangerous if you hit a pedestrian because it's stainless steel.
Yeah.
It doesn't crumple and stuff.
You can't see where the blood was.
Yeah. Like, just... dumb, like yeah. so dumb. And then apparently
I've got one on order, guys.
Yeah. And if you want to kind of rectify that somewhat, not perfectly, you can get a coating on it that costs like $5,000 to try and protect it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not doing stuff. It's like, do you want the protective coating? Apparently it's a shit car.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy as well.
Man, they've made a series of blunders.
No surprises. Yeah.
God, I used to love him so much.
Yeah, but then I realized that he's just the guy that can get money from other people. Because I've seen a few Teslas recently that have, it's like, it says Elon with a red circle and the line through it.
Right.
Because he's not Tesla. I mean, he's not even the CEO of Tesla anymore.
Right. And so people want to drive a Tesla, but they want to be very clear that they don't support Elon.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, like I messaged Kevin Yank recently and he's got a Tesla and he's like, I feel bad now every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm
tacitly supporting him.
But he's not Tesla.
Yeah.
He's not any of those things. He's just the guy who's the face of those companies. You did buy a SpaceX rocket.
All right, well, thanks for this thing this week. A little bit of a longer episode to make up for the absence of one last week.
Yeah, sorry, guys. And I'm glad we got a little bit of tree stump work in there.
We
set it up.
Yeah.
Can't introduce the gun and not use it.
That's right.
And we will talk to you again next week. Okay, bye.
Ciao.
Stain my steel, hooly doolies.